Hey guys, it's Josh. I'm just putting a short disclaimer at the beginning of the episode here. I'm trying out a new format with this episode. I know in the little mini episode last time I said I would try maybe talk about things other than video games. I'm still not sure about that. It's still kind of mulling around up there. But what I am trying with this episode is we actually, my friend and I, we actually recorded us playing the game that we're doing this episode on. And so what we're going to do as we make points in the podcast, we're going to transition out to hearing like what we were saying during the actual playthrough. I pick and chose the moment, so you're not getting the full thing, because otherwise it would be boring just listening to people play a game without actually seeing the visuals. But I figured small snippets so you can hear our thoughts and everything as it's happening. It would be interesting. So whenever you hear this sound, that means that it's transitioning into transitioning in or out of one of the little audio clips from the game. So if you guys like this, let me know. The podcast Twitter feed or whatever, the Twitter info is at the end of the episode. So thanks very much, guys, and on with the show. On this episode of Still Loading, wait, are you sure it's not Mega Man 10? Hey guys, it's Josh, and my friend Pete is back again.
Hello.
Today we are talking about Mega Man X, and we are just going to go over some of it. It's never been one of the games that I've been pretty, really good at, but Pete here, it's one of his favorite games of all time.
I guess from the Super Nintendo. It's probably got, the best soundtrack out of any game I've ever played.
I still like the story of, when you worked at GameStop. What was that again?
Oh, whenever we would close, I would just hook it up. My iPod up to our sound system, and I would just play that soundtrack because it was about a half hour long, and it took us about a half hour to clean up. So
didn't you say your boss ended up getting he wanted to play the game?
Oh, not my boss, but one of my coworkers. He had never played it before, but just from hearing the music, he wanted to try it out, and he ended up really liking it.
So we are going to just kind of talk about some of the different things in it. So I guess we can start off with the intro level, the first thing that you see. Or the first thing that happens. So it starts out on a highway type of thing, and Eager Raptor does a really cool video on called Sequelitis on it, but it does kind of show you, it does a good job of showing you the basics of it.
Yeah. I also think that's a new thing for the Mega Man series at that point. I don't think there were intro levels before. It was just boss selection.
Not that I can think. I mean, I played a lot of the original games on the NES, and none of them that I can think of have intro levels.
But yeah, just the way the level's laid out, it teaches you, obviously, just run around and shoot. It sets up parts in the level where you have to use the wall cling to jump up walls, which I think is something that's kind of
new. That always confused me for some reason. I remember when I first started playing it, I could not figure out for the life of me how to actually jump up the stupid walls. Now I always get to the first. Well, the thing that bothers me is that. Shoot. The thing that always bothered. Nope. The thing that always bothered me is that they don't. They don't, when you get to, the different parts where the ground, explodes beneath you, mm-hmm. right here.
Oh, man, you should always be charging. You gotta shoot him in the head.
I know, but it's too late now.
Bees. Not the bees.
Jesus Christ, I'm gonna die here.
Nah, you're good. You're good, man.
Yeah. See, this, how you're supposed to do that, they don't tell you that at all.
Nah, but it's pretty intuitive.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because you would fall down, and I'm like, how the hell can I make this jump? But I didn't fall down first, but I was able to make it back, and there's that giant gap, when you fall down, because the whole highway bridge thing just collapses in, And I'm like, how the hell are you supposed to hit this? Like, I can't make that jump. And then, I mean, eventually I figured it out by accident, but it was...
Yeah, you only have two buttons, so you're like, I'm in this area.
Actually, there's a lot on the Super Nintendo.
But there's only really two actions. There's shooting. Well, I guess there's three. There's shooting, there's moving, and there's jumping. And if you're in this little pit...
You have no other options just yet. You can't switch weapons just yet. You can't do the dash move just yet.
Your shots don't do anything to the wall. And if you jump against the wall instinctually just because you're like, I'm going to try and jump out of here, you'll notice that you kind of slide down when you're on the wall. And then, you know, you might just get the instinct to try hitting jump again, and then you realize that you can wall jump.
I always wondered what he's gripping onto, because he has, like,
probably has, like, magnet hands or something, I don't know.
Oh, he's also a robot. Yeah, so maybe he's just got super strong grip or something. But no, so it's cool, because then you climb on up, and you go on out, and then you fight a couple another. I mean, the stupid, like, daddy long leg walker things gave me the hardest time.
Yeah, I mean, they show you that some enemies have weak points that can only
be... hitboxes.
So, like, that's something that'll come up later with other enemies and bosses.
That. I'm still so bad at it, and it's always because it's just above your shooter, so your blaster.
Gotta put a little effort in.
That's work. I don't like it.
Yeah, you just, like, you're up against the wall, you're like, I have two buttons, I can jump or I can shoot. So you're against the wall, and if you jump, I don't think it needs to tell you, I think it's just the way the game's laid out, it's kind of intuitive. Like, even if you're not thinking about it, you would figure it out.
I doubt,
because did anybody tell you that? I assumed, like, when you played.
I honestly forget how I figured that out.
I guarantee it just happened, because this
by
game
accident,
just...
By accident, I think.
Yeah. Like, I don't, it just, something about the way they lay it out just tells you that that'll work.
Alright, well. You die. But, so, yeah, you keep on going, and then you fight your first boss, and you lose.
Yeah, it's a storyline, like, you have to lose the fight against Vile, because he's just way stronger than you. You're saved by Zero, who was kind of, like... more upgraded version of
Mega Man. I'm going to be relying on you for all these names, by the way, because we just finished playing it, like, to so I could get, like, a refresher on it, and I won't remember any of these.
So Vile is, like, the number one henchman of Sigma, who is the villain, the final boss of the game. Zero is, like, your ally. He's just, like, a red Mega Man with awesome blonde hair.
Flowing blonde hair.
But yeah, he shows up and saves you. Like, you're not able to do any damage to Vile in the fight, but Zero, with one shot of his blaster, is able to blow off its arm. Mm. So it just shows you the gap in power between you and Zero. But Zero does tell
shows
you
how shitty you are.
Yeah, but Zero tells you, like, one day you'll be as strong as him, or even surpass him, and then cue in the game when you get to choose your boss stage and start acquiring power-ups to get onto Zero's level.
So then you get introduced to the menu screen, which is it's classic Mega Man again. You can choose one of the eight robot masters, which now instead of like, you know, Iceman or Rockman, now it's like animals. They're all animal themed. Like, so like you suggested the first one to take out would be Chill Penguin because you get the dash boots from him.
Yeah, like he's an easier boss, and the dash boots are almost essential for most parts of the game. They give you a farther jump. A quicker, like, the dash allows you to dodge things. It's almost impossible to play most of the game without the boots, and you can't miss them in his stage. They're part of going through.
It's not one of the bonus ones. It's a required thing.
Yeah, because they're pretty much necessary, and that's usually the first one that anybody would take. You can try other ones. I don't know how possible they are without the boots.
I honestly wonder how you'd beat Stormeagle without it.
I don't know if you can. I feel like you would just get blown off the stage. Also, in, like, the underwater level with the spikes and the mini-boss, I don't think that's doable without the dash boots as well. Mm.
But we chose Chill Penguin for the, I'm blanking already, dash boots there. What kind of enemies do you usually encounter in those ones? Like,
I honestly don't remember the generic enemies of levels. I just remember the music and... the basic layout and the boss.
We'll definitely put some Smooth McGroove Game Chops remix stuff of Spark Mandrill at the end of this.
His remixes are pretty good. Chill Penguin's...
Well, instead of that, let's just talk about the boss fight himself.
Yeah, because the generic enemies are pretty boring. I mean, some of them are... like, the only ones I really remember are, like, there's, like, these guys with axes that hit, like, platforms at you continuously. They're kind of annoying.
Fuck those guys.
I guess the other cool enemy is they introduce there's these other, like, humanoid type robots that jump into a big mech suit, like what Vile used in the first stage.
That wasn't in Chill Penguin stage, was it?
In a few different stages. Chill Penguin, I remember they're in there. So it's like a mini version of Vile, not nearly as strong, but you can also kill them before they get in the suit. and steal it and then go punch things.
Chill Penguin, I think I did end up beating... Yeah, I beat that boss, I believe, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. We kind of alternated back and forth between levels. But so his whole thing was, like, you know, he'd freeze the penguins and then blow them at you, or he would, like, dive at you and slide across the level and you'd have to dodge him. I learned how poor my hand-eye coordination is from his fight. There was other fights that were, like, later on that were so much easier than his. Not even because of the whole weakness thing, but, like, they were just easier to...
I think you were just getting the hang of the game more, I think.
That makes sense, I guess.
Because, like, when you first started Chill Penguin stage, you could barely even get through the stage. But then by the end, you know, you were getting through just fine, and the boss wasn't too much of a challenge for you.
I'll have to keep practice, because we got... I mean, spoiler alert, we didn't beat the game, but we did get up to the final... the final levels.
Yeah, so we alternated, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was your first time really playing in a while, so it took you, like, a few tries, but you got through the level and eventually got down the pattern and were able to beat the boss with just the X-Bust, or whatever the...
The blaster, the
Your generic arm cannon.
And then after Chill Penguin, what did... You fought, he's the chameleon
guy. Oh, Sting Chameleon is the one I fought next. Mainly... I normally don't do him till later, but just because we were alternating, I decided to pick the more difficult bosses. And,
oh, thank you.
And I decided to choose stages that had power-ups that would help you for other ones. So there's a kind of a... Like, there's secrets. They're not really, like, that well hidden, but there are secrets in the game if you look for them. And in Sting Chameleon stage, there's a mini-boss hidden, and if you defeat him, you get an armor boost, which halves any damage you take. Okay. So, for later parts of the game, it's pretty much essential.
Well, after, like, watching you play freaking, I think it... Was it... No, it wasn't Spark Mandrill. Who's the guy that had the pincer that kind of threw you up into the air?
Oh, Boomer Coanger.
Boomer Coanger. Like, he did a lot of damage, and then we already had the half, like, damage thing, and that still took out a chunk.
He's brutal, but the one cool thing I like about the armor upgrades is when you start out the game, if you look at what Mega Man looks like, or X, as they just call him, he's just called X... He doesn't look anything like what he looks like on the cover of the game. His armor just looks like...
Blue.
Yeah, just like classic blue Mega Man armor. But on the cover, he's got like this really sleek silver, like, you know, attachments on top of it. And the upgrades you get throughout the game are actually those pieces that he wears on the cover. So the boots are one. Yeah. Then there's the armor and a helmet. And by the once you get all of them, you look just like he does.
I felt so bad because the whole time we were playing, you were like, doesn't he look more like the cover? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, man.
I don't see this.
The pixels get more detailed.
Nah, I liked it. What is it? I liked that. I liked the helmet upgrade specifically because you could like hit things with your head and like
you get the Mario jump.
Like you said, the Mario thing and just kind of destroy certain blocks, not all blocks, with it, which ended up getting us that awesome blaster.
Oh, the blaster upgrade, which is probably the hardest one to get. It requires like a pretty difficult jump in one of the stages, but it allows you to charge your blaster even longer for a huge amount of damage, and it allows you to charge boss weapons, which you normally can't do.
So, all of this spawned out of you doing the Sting Chameleon stage. So, what was his boss fight like? Like, what did...
So, his pattern, he just kind of... He'll go invisible, because he's a chameleon, and when he's invisible, you can't hurt him. And then he just kind of moves around the stage, and when he becomes visible again, you have, like, a few seconds to try and hit him. But he'll normally... He has, like, a pretty... far attack with his tongue, so I normally try and run in close to bait him coming out of his like invincibility stage, and then run away and just hit him with a charge shot.
I feel like I'm just interviewing. I'm like, what is this like, Pete? What I played it, I watched the whole.
I mean, we don't have to talk about boss strats. Like, I feel
it was like, but that's interesting because the whole thing of Mega Man is the bosses. Well, not the whole thing, but like a lot of the fun of Mega Man are the bosses because each boss has a different strategy you have to employ. It makes you think a different way each time. So, like, one of the next bosses I did was I tried to do Spark Mandrill.
You know what? I would, Fuck. I was gonna say, use Sting Chameleon's thing. Alright, I'll switch to the ice. You can beat him with... You won't get hit. I promise you.
I don't care. I mean, I think...
Alright, so you can't hit him once he's frozen, so just wait till he breaks out and then shoot him again. He'll have, like, a small second of invulnerability when he breaks out, so wait till his hands come back down and then just shoot him. Flexing.
Oh my god, okay.
See, there's the invulnerability I was talking about.
Oh shit. I wasn't paid. Please don't tell me I'm this is my last fight. No! God damn it! Yeah, it was Spark Mandrill. And that level, and it's cool, and we can use this as a segue too, like how beating certain levels in a certain order will affect the things and like the enemies that happen in other levels. So I failed the first time I tried Spark Mandrill, and then you did Storm Eagle. And when you beat Storm Eagle's level, you know, like, when you beat him, then all of a sudden, you crash into a power plant, which is Spark Mandrill's world. So when you go back into Spark Mandrill, a lot of the enemies that, like, have electric attacks and stuff, they can't hurt you anymore, or they are not able to use it. So I failed so bad the first time, but then you beat Storm Eagle. And then we went back, and That's a really cool idea. Like, not a lot. That's the first time I can think of it in like a Mega Man game. But
yeah, I don't know if it's ever happened before. But I think it's two stages where it happens. There's the story. If you beat Storm Eagle, it affects Spark Mandrill stage, and then most people probably don't even go to Flame Mammoth till after Chill Penguin. But Flame Mammoth stage is all lava, so you know it's a lot of being careful where you're standing and stuff. But if you beat Chill Penguin first, all the lava becomes frozen, and it turns the level into a joke.
Because you can just run underneath.
Yeah, you can just run through all the obstacles.
When I was playing, I'm like, I didn't do it. I kept taking the hard way, because I don't know any better. That's a really cool idea. Like, not a lot of games, especially games that are linear. Like, Mega Man X, this was really cool, because it was a linear game, but you could play it as, like, almost like an open world game, when it's not, like, it's a linear game because it's all, you know, 2D side-scrolling, but you can really, like, I mean, it takes the whole idea of Mega Man where you can play any level in any order that you want, but kind of expands on it and gives you more to it, where, like, now there's not only secrets, but there's also now you can, depending on what you do in one level, affects what you do in another level, which they never did that before.
Yeah, so you could choose the order in which you fight bosses depending on what you want to affect the level with, or if you want the weapon that's better against the boss, because technically speaking, Flame Mammoth's weapon is what Chill Penguin is weak to, so you would think you would want to fight Flame Mammoth first, but if you fight Chill Penguin first, it makes his Flame Mammoth stage easier, and you get the dash boots.
And on top of that, isn't Flame Mammoth weak? No, who's weak to ice? Spark Mandrill's weak to Chill Penguin's weapon. That's so weird. You'd think it'd be Flame Mammoth, but I guess fire might melt ice versus, like, fire can't really melt water.
Yeah, I don't know why why ice affects the electricity.
They do that in Pokemon, too. Ice and fire are, like, good against each other. Oh, no, ice is good against fire.
No, it's not.
Sorry, fire good against ice.
That makes sense, but water's good against fire. But there is no water. Well, yeah. I guess there kind of is a water stage, but the boss
it's
isn't water.
It's the octopus guy.
But yeah, he's not like, he doesn't attack with water. He just shoots like homing missiles.
He's just in water, isn't he?
Yeah, it's an underwater stage.
Which I hate underwater levels so much.
That one I actually really like. Like, normally I hate underwater stages, but I mean, unfortunately I was the one who played it. You didn't get a chance to try it out, but I mean, you own the game, so whenever you want.
Yeah, I can try it.
But with the dash and stuff, like, the way the physics work when you're underwater, you can, like, if you notice sometimes I would just go flying.
Yeah.
Like, and skipping a lot.
You go a lot farther than you normally would.
Yeah, because you're kind of hovering in because you're so much more buoyant in the water, so you float around. It's actually one of the more fun stages, I think, when normally water levels are annoying.
In thinking of fun stages, I really liked Armored Armadillo stage. Like, the minecart. Well, I don't know if
they're minecarts.
The minecarts that you ride and just, like, destroy everything in your path.
Yeah, you just get to chill out and plow everything over in your path. It's
It was fun because it was almost like a little break, but at the same time, they still made that into a little bit of a challenge. Not a big challenge, but still, like, you don't know when it's going to stop, so you have to react.
Yeah, if you don't get off the minecart in time, by the end, you will die. So it's not like you can completely, like, just veg out.
Yeah, well, I did. Well, the one time I jumped too early, and then I was able to hit the wall, and I climbed back up. But when the minecart bounced, it hit me off the wall, and I died anyway. I'm like, son of a bitch, come on. I did it!
Okay, so this one, when it goes outside towards the end, you're going to want to jump. You can shoot down those birds.
If I'm facing the right way.
Alright, get ready. Jump. Oh, wait, too early.
No! Oh, I made it, too!
Now you can keep going.
It'll start you right here pretty quick.
That's one of my favorite... I think that is my favorite level. Maybe, but at the same time, it has my least favorite enemy. Not the little daddy long-legger guys, but, like, the bats.
Yeah, they're kind of annoying.
I hate the bats because I can't hit them. And I could just run past them, but, like, I always pick... I have this problem all the time, especially in platformers. I pick the worst times to either run through the enemies, or I pick the worst times to stay and fight the enemies. Like, I'll stay and fight when I could easily just run away, or I'll run away when I should stay and fight because it's just a wall of guys coming at me. I guess that's something I'll just practice with as we go along, but...
And everybody struggles with something different.
Well, I just struggle with Mega Man in general. The only Mega Man game I'm even good at is 2, and that's because it has an easy mode on it. All the other games are don't have that.
Honestly, if you just sat down with any like with X for a while, I think you'd be fine. It's not like I was that great when I played it.
I'll have to keep... I'm going to keep going through it. But this, a little bit of a side note. Did you know why Mega Man's blue?
I did not.
Now, granted, this is going back to the NES, but the reason Mega Man is blue is because the NES, it only could display 16 colors total. And then so everything you see coming out of an NES is some combination of those 16 colors. And it has, the NES had a bunch of different varieties of blue that they could choose from. So it, like, more than any other color that it could put out, it had, like, you know, tons of different shades of blue, so they chose Mega Man so they would have a lot more options with the other color. They chose blue so they would have more options with all the other colors, including the other blues they didn't choose.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then gave him the little black outline so that way he would stand out across from the backgrounds, or from the levels.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And, I mean, he's been the Blue Bomber ever since. But anyway, Mega Man X. Yeah, so that was my favorite stage, the Armored Armadillo. And you said yours was the... What's the octopus's name again?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what my favorite stage is. I usually just... I mean, I listen to the soundtrack a lot, so I think I just go by the music. Although my favorite music is in my least favorite stage, which is the Boomer Coanger stage.
That... Watching you play that was painful for
me. That stage I really don't like, but I do like the music.
Well, the way it works, too. Like, so just to describe it for everyone, like, the Boomer Coanger...
He's like a beetle, essentially. He's a bug. Yeah. What he is.
So what... The stage, it's like one big kind of like wall, essentially.
It's a huge tower.
Yeah.
And you're just ascending it.
And it has moving platforms that come in and out, so you have to wait for the platforms, but there's enemies on the platforms. It's not hard to kill the enemies. They're easy to hit. They don't take a lot of hits to kill, but when you jump up, you have to actually land on the platform, like do one of the wall jumps on the platform, the side of the platform that's coming out of the wall, land on it, and then keep going. And it just progressively gets harder because then they throw more enemies at you, they throw more platforms, so you have to alternate sides.
They position enemies at the tops of ladders or in places where you have to make a jump, and the enemies don't trigger to attack you until you're like kind of in midair, so you have to try and bait them out in weird ways or get hit and fall and lose all your progress.
Or get hit and hope you hold onto the ladder and can walk up. But yeah. I don't think that would work too well.
There's also an elevator section, which is a little tedious, where you just get on a platform that goes up really...
Did we skip that?
I think you were texting or something when I went through it, but it ascends really fast, and then there's instant kill spikes.
Oh, no, I know. I saw what you're talking about then. Yeah, yeah.
That can be a little stressful your first few times through.
I'm trying to think of who my favorite boss is. Before we go on to, like, the final zone... I'm trying to think who my favorite boss would have been.
My favorite boss is Storm Eagle.
Yeah.
I love his arena because it's so different from everybody else's. It's out in the open on like a plane, like a carrier of some sort. Everybody else's is in a contained room. His has different rules than everybody else's stage. He can blow you off the stage and you can die that way. Without the dash boots, I don't know how to beat Storm Eagle. Mm-hmm. I don't know if... I've never really tried it. He also... fights entirely different. Like, he'll fly out of range of you. He fights... Like, he stays away from you most of the fight. Where other bosses are always trying to rush you down and crush you, he stays away, and it just makes... It makes the fight,
it
like...
It kind of changes the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, I just love the setup, the arena, and I think his design is really cool, and I just find his fight to be the most fun.
It seems like it's ready for the boss.
This is the stage. So, do you remember this plane?
No.
It's what dropped off Vile in the first stage.
Oh, shit, yeah, okay. Oh, I see, this is... Oh, that's so cool, how the boss goes, okay.
So here you go. Oh, wait. Make this easy.
Is that his weakness?
Yeah. This is probably the coolest stage, like, boss stage arena.
want to see how much
damage. So he's literally impossible without the dash boots, because he'll just blow you off the stage.
Oh, wow.
For me.
Surprisingly enough, now, I'm trying to still think of what my favorite boss fight would be, but the fight that gave me the most struggle is actually my favorite. The one on Spark Mandrill stage. The giant orb that, like...
Oh, the mini-boss?
The mini-boss. And I think back, I'm like, I actually had a lot of fun fighting him, even though he pissed me off the most out of all the... all the bosses. But if I had to choose a favorite boss that's not a mini-boss, it would probably be... out of the ones I fought, I mean... I think I'd actually choose Flame Mammoth. I enjoyed that fight.
He's a fun fight. It's a little,
Little
more simple.
You know, you can use, like you suggested, use the boomerang to cut off his nose. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, you cut his trunk off because he's a mammoth.
And then you just go to town on him. What weapon was he weak against, too?
He's weak against Storm Eagle's weapon, which is like the big tornado.
Let's talk about that weapon.
Oh, yeah. Storm Eagle, I think, he has my favorite weapon in the game, which is he shoots out this giant cyclone. It kind of delays when it first comes out, and then it goes across the entire screen, and it decimates any normal enemy in the stage.
It's amazing.
Like, it just clears screens.
It's like Metal Man's weapon from Mega Man 2. It's the same thing. Like, that weapon's the most OP weapon in Mega Man 2. I feel like that. I mean, maybe someone will disagree.
It's kind of funny, because when you fight Storm Eagle, he does that attack to you, but it doesn't do damage. It just pushes you away.
That weapon, like, it was just, when you told me, like, oh, it's the most OP weapon, I'm like, is it really? And you were right. it was laughable how easy it was. But yeah, so that weapon was really, that weapon's just fantastic. I would say that my next favorite one would have to be not Spark Mandrill. I would say what's the octopus's boss's name again? I always forget. Launch Octopus. Mm-hmm. Doesn't he shoot like those little balls in it? Like when you upgrade the blasters so you can actually charge it up, it protects you. Is that
his? Oh, that's Armored Armadillo.
Is that okay? I liked his.
The octopus shoots homing missiles.
That's what it is. Okay, and that wrecked the one boss that you fought. Refight. Yeah,
after you beat all eight bosses, you go to Sigma's Fortress with Zero, and. Another stage that has one of my favorite pieces of music in the game. After a pretty grueling stage, you get to Vile again, the boss from the very beginning intro level. Zero chases him into a room. You hear a fight go on. By the time you get in there, Zero is lost. So you try to challenge Vile again and lose a second time. And then Zero sacrifices himself to blow up Vile's armor suit, allowing a more even fight. And then you fight Vile for real, where you can defeat him.
And that's the one where I got lucky.
He's insanely weak to Sting Chameleon's special weapon, just got point blank and tapped the button as fast as you could. And
I didn't think it would work.
Dropped so fast.
Well, because
he's a pretty rough fight.
Because when you try to dodge him, he just runs around so fast. Like it's so hard to dodge him.
He moves very fast.
But if you stop moving and he like just gets right in front of you, just because when he. I think what happened is when he moves his arm up to actually shoot you with like his stunning move, like this electricity stun move that, you know, keeps you in the one place. I think his arm hits you first, so you're invulnerable when it shoots
through
you.
You're just exploiting those invulnerability
so you just sit there
frames.
And you just like fire away.
I've never seen his health go down so fast before. I guess I've never really tried. I usually just fight him with the regular X Buster, but yeah, that was pretty funny to see how fast he died, because he is a real pain. He shoots homing missiles, he can put you in like a little electric prison, and he just dashes everywhere, and he does a lot of damage when he hits you.
I mean,
even with the armor.
Well, luckily you got us a couple extra like health bonuses, along with two reserve tanks.
Yeah, we were still missing two reserve tanks, and I want to say probably two more hearts at least, because your health bar gets pretty big. But yeah, after him you fight the bosses again. I forget. I think it was Boomer Quanger, and then you fight this spider, which I really hate.
That's where we died.
Well, I only got one shot at him, and then we lost our lives. But after you beat him, there's another stage. You fight a few more of the bosses. I'm trying to remember after this. I forget what order they're in.
Yeah, so we stopped at the spider fight. So I didn't get to see the final couple areas of the game.
Yeah, I think there's only like two areas after that. There's another stage, which pretty much just I'm pretty sure it's more of a boss gauntlet than anything. And then the final boss of that stage is like these two. It's like a big face. It's like fighting Face from Nick Jr. it's just like two eyes and something else. So you just the stage is essentially the battle. Like it, like oh, you pretty much yeah, fight, yeah. spend most of the fight clinging to the wall because you can't touch the ground and stuff like that. It's tiring on your hands to say the least. But
my thumb
I would say
was
it's
killing me, holding the charge shot and trying to cling to the wall over and over and over again.
It's actually not too hard of a fight. I think the spider is actually a little more challenging. Just because it's a little more random, but yeah, the face isn't too hard. After that, then it's Sigma. Sigma's like three stages, I think. You fight. He has like a pet robot dog.
Mm-hmm.
After the dog, you fight Sigma himself, who's real tough. He's like the size of the other Maverick bosses that you fight, but he's got like a lightsaber. He's real fast. He does a ton of damage. After you beat him, then he has I believe one form after that. Where he's like some kind of big thing, and then that's the end of the game.
So it does have a decent amount towards the end. Like you were saying, there's only like three levels. So I guess three levels really. It's
yeah, but
long
you gotta cram like you know eight more bosses into those levels. I could be missing something here or there. I only usually when I play the game, I go through all the bosses, and then I'll get to Sigma's Fortress, get through the first level. Usually struggle with that spider, and by then I've already been playing for like an hour and a half or so, and I kind of get tired. And then I just stopped playing.
We don't have long attention spans anymore as an adult.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't have as much fun in those final stages as I do. Like, the fun of that game to me is going through just the traditional eight bosses. I love the music in those stages.
I can relate to that.
The final stages get a little bit more tiresome for me, and I just don't have as much fun there.
No, I can relate to that, because like, the same thing goes for me even with, like, Mega Man 2. Like, that's, like I said, that's the only Mega Man game I'm really good at because of the easy mode. But, like, I love playing through the stages every single time. But I still have not beaten it, which is a shame. But it's one of my quote-unquote gaming sins. I have not beaten a Mega Man game. But yeah,
they're hard.
They're tough games. I mean, they call it Nintendo hard for a reason.
Yeah. Or
whatever it is. But I would go through all the stages. I love all the stages in Mega Man 2, but once you get to the Wily stages, the music's good. In fact, like, Wily 1 is, like, one of the most, like, popular video game songs, like, period. But, so, you have Wily 1 and 2, and then you have to fight this weird dragon boss, and then you go down to some more level. Then you have to do a couple more levels, fight another one of those ones, kind of like what you were saying with like the face thing, but mm-hmm. it's like you fight the stage more than an actual boss. It's like this room that just like it's got these bricks around, and the bricks come off, and like from one side they
it's
form.
It's like literally the same boss from,
and
like
then
Man
you
X.
fight it, and it's easy. They're easy. They're like one shot kills, but like that's about it. And then you can finally go. I think there might be one other thing after that where you then, but then there's the 8-round boss gauntlet again, and then you have to fight Wily. And I think you actually have to fight Wily twice, because the first time is like, the first time it's just him. It's like you see him in like a suit or whatever, like in a machine. You kill him, and then all of a sudden he turns into an alien, and you're like, what the shit?
Yeah.
And then you fight him again. And then you find out that Wily was just making an illusion machine, and you finally destroyed the illusion. It's a weird ending for
Mega
Man.
Yeah, I
mean,
all the Mega Man games pretty much follow the same formula. I mean, you describing that is pretty much what the end of Mega Man X is, for the most part. I mean, just change a few things to something, but it's the same format. Like, fight him, he has different forms, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's the same thing.
But even, like, old Mega Man's, like, from 3 and up, they had the it wasn't called charge boots, but you could slide, essentially the same thing.
Yeah, the dash.
I mean, it looks cooler in Mega Man X, but like it started out like Mega Man 3 and up, he kind of slides on his butt and just kind of goes like, "What?"
Yeah, no, this one's very anime. Mega Man X is very anime style to it.
Even the storyline's kind of like that, like where your best friend commits suicide. So
yeah, it's very very traditional like Japanese storytelling. There's always sacrifice.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
Zero does come back though in the other games.
Does he in like the other Mega Man?
Yeah, and you get to play as him. I believe. Forget if when they first let you play, if it's 2 or 3, and then he's kind of become like almost his own character on his own. Like he was in like the newest Marvel vs. Capcom game. Like he's Zero's really cool. They really branch out his gameplay. I don't know, 5 or 6 Mega Man X 5 or 6. He plays entirely different. He has a sword instead of his blaster, and He just has an entirely different moveset.
We'll have to try out some time together. I have Mega Man X4 for the PlayStation. I picked it up at a convention somewhat recently.
I have the whole collection, so we can play literally any of them.
That way, we don't have to play it on the original. I only wanted to play this on the Super Nintendo to kind of get the actual feel of it. I would love to just play through all of them on that collection that you have.
Or it's just like the PS2 like port of all of them.
Do the controls still feel tight on that, too?
Yeah. It feels fine to me. I mean, I'm not somebody who plays it, like, religiously.
But, like, played it on the Super Nintendo, and you kind of, like, it... I mean, I guess...
It felt the same to me. I didn't notice, like, any lag or anything like that.
Because, you know, sometimes, like, ports can be floaty and stuff like... Or sometimes they're just bad ports. It doesn't happen... I feel like the PS2 one probably wouldn't be too bad. But, like, I've heard stories of, like, not with Mega Man, but other ports that are just, like, horrible.
Yeah, like, I think Dreamcast had some of the best ports, from what I understand, of some of the arcade games and stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure... The Dreamcast version of, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is supposed to be the most accurate, like, port. Yeah, as opposed to, like, PlayStation.
I think Justin, you all people have heard Justin on this podcast before. He's one of my best friends. I think he has it in his collection for Dreamcast, actually.
That's an expensive game. Nice.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't even know what our most... I still feel bad. He lost his Chrono Trigger, but that's it. That's his most expensive game, but it's no longer... He can't find it.
Oof.
Yeah. But anyway, so to kind of wrap things up, I guess we'll just talk about I'm not, like, any kind of official aficionado or, like, have some kind of, like, you know, like, my opinion really matters, but, like, after playing this game, I can honestly see why it was so influential for all... Not just, like, Mega Man games, but, like, platformers in general... Like and on.
Yeah.
And just, game design.
Yeah, the way the game lays things out, like in the very first stage, you know, you learn the basics of holding down a charge shot. Like, it's in that Ego Raptor video you were talking about. He goes over just how intuitive the game design is. And even just like in level design, like when you fight this one mini boss in the first stage, when it dies, it falls down and collapses part of the stage, which is where you have to learn how to get out. Which is repeated again later in the game. There's an optional mini boss, which is this ship. And if you choose to fight it, when it is destroyed, it crashes to the level and opens up a secret, which is where you get another health tank. So
they bring back ideas like that's almost very Metroid, but it came out. I think it came out before Metroid, but I'm still not sure.
Don't remember the year of Mega Man X.
I don't know either.
But the thing that
don't quote us on that.
My favorite part of the game is always like I mean the gameplay is very solid and I love playing through it, but it's the music. It was the first game where I really noticed the soundtrack to it, and I still listen to it like on a weekly basis. It's incredible. I think a lot of video game soundtracks, I feel like you can't appreciate them fully unless you've played the game, but I feel like that soundtrack, you could just hear it, and you could just be like, yeah, this is... It's like very, solid. like rock sounding. It just...
I mean,
It's very energetic. Like I said, like, my coworker, I just played him the soundtrack, and that gave him enough interest to try the game out, just from the music alone.
Just on a side note, then, for that, you mentioned rock music... In Japan, Mega Man's called Rock Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because a lot of the music... I mean, they were kind of going for a rock...
Yeah, Mega Man's always had good music, but just whatever the sound card is in the Super Nintendo is just on a whole nother level of...
Sorry, no, I didn't mean
to... I was just going to say, because like, if you listen to like Mega Man 2, like it has that very gamey sound to it. Like it's clearly done on a Nintendo. But like Mega Man X just sounds like somebody rocking out on a keyboard or a guitar or something like that.
The reason is Sony actually designed the sound card in the Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
And they use samples instead of actually generate... Like they use samples for their sound. So like there's like the sound card or the sound card on the Super Nintendo is like one of the best sound cards of a retro console, just period. And like if you look at games like, I mean, I know this isn't Mega Man X related, but like Earthbound, that game, they actually had to put a lot more memory in the cartridge itself, the game cartridge itself, because, like, I think, like, a third of what was in there, I forget the exact number of it, like, what percentage of it is, but I'm pretty sure it's a third or higher, maybe it's only a quarter, but a good chunk of that game is just the music, because they put so many, it's so vast, and a lot, I mean, now, granted, the sound card doesn't, you know, store the music, it just generates the samples. But it's still really cool that, like, to this day, people still go back to the Super Nintendo and listen to those songs, and Mega Man X is a big part of that, and that sound card is, like, nuts.
But, yeah.
All right, well, that's pretty much all the time we had for today. I hope you enjoyed our little thing on Mega Man X. I also tried out this new thing where we're going to be splicing in like sound, like clips of like audio clips of us playing the game. So if you guys like that, well, I'm sure you've heard it all now, but if you like that, let me know. If not, that's cool too, but I just figured I'd try something new out. If you want to, you can reach me at, or you can reach us at Still Loading Pod on Twitter. That's at STILLLOADINGPOD, Still Loading Pod. And, I guess you don't have a Twitter, do you, Pete?
No.
But
all right. Don't talk to me. leave me alone. That's my policy. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But I don't have any way of getting in contact.
No worries. But all right, and that's it for today, guys. So have a good week, and we'll be around for the next episode.
Bye.